Now, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 4. And this chapter has 25 verses.
What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoning of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Okay, now we'll stop here and we'll go. Now here, last week, if you remember, we were learning that Jew or Gentiles, both of them, they have no rights to say, I'm holy. St. Paul says, Gentiles or Jewish, they are all sinners in the sight of God. We read in chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there was no one can brag that he is, because he's Jew, he is blessed. And then we learned in last week, even today we read Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Please read that one more time. Romans 3, 19, 20.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, but that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Now, see what he says, whole world's mouth should be shut, and everyone should know the law makes them sinner. So from that, not a single person with the law or without a law can be saved. Then what is the answer? Jesus is the answer. So that's what he's saying. Now he's giving an example in the chapter 4. He's giving an example of Abraham. He says, now let me tell you about Abraham. Abraham was justified when he did the circumcision, or he was justified before the circumcision? That's what the question Paul is asking in this chapter. He says, Abraham God called. That time he was not even circumcised, right? But God blessed him. And when he trusted in the Lord, the God says, that's why you are called righteous. Because you believed God, not because of the circumcision. You understand? So what he's trying to say, what God wants, circumcision or faith? That's the point is in this chapter. What you want? God doesn't want your circumcision. Last time we learned, circumcision is worthless if your heart is not changed. So he says your heart should be circumcised, not your flesh. That's what God wants. So now he's trying to say, you take the example of Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God because he believed God. And he was righteous, read the verse 5, because of his faith. Romans 4, 5.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
So you have to believe that God is able to bring even unsaved or unrighteous people to God just by believing in Jesus Christ. If the person, doesn't matter what religion he's coming, but if he comes to Jesus Christ by faith, that person will be saved. Because there is no difference between language, nationality, or color. We all blessed in Jesus Christ. Verse 7.
Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Okay, now here, Paul is taking the words from the book of Psalms, Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Please read. He's quoting from Psalms.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Okay, now see, he's saying there are blessings in these two verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now that person says, oh, I'm blessed because my sins are forgiven. But he says, and whose sins is covered. Now, here is the sin. Let me say, this is the sin. If a man commits sin, now he looks like a black charcoal. Now he comes to God and asks forgiveness, gives some sacrifice. What happened? His sins are covered. Sounds good. That's the way it happened to the Old Testament people. When they commit sin, they go to the priest. He said, I committed this crime. Okay, bring the sacrifice, and the sacrifice will do, and then his sins will be forgiven and covered. It's a blessing. That's what the Old Testament people had, the blessing. But the new verse, read the verse too.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no God.
Now, this is another kind of person, he says. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not the iniquity. What does it mean? He says, another kind of person is there. God says, you are not guilty. I cannot find any sin in you. You are pure and holy. How it happened? That's the only one man, and that is Jesus Christ. There was no sin in Jesus. There was no iniquity found in Jesus Christ. So now that man is blessed. And so in whom and in whose spirit there is no guile. Means he is outwardly looking holy and is inwardly holy. I cannot find any sin. I cannot find iniquity. That person is blessed. Now who is that person? Because that person is the church. That person, you and me. How it happened? Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, and when we are plunged in the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins what? Forgiven and forgotten. There is no record of our sins. That means God says, I'm not putting sin on you because your sin is already gone. And you have nothing in your spirit because your spirit is cleansed. That happens by the blood of Jesus Christ. So see, the Old Testament people, their sin were covered. Our sin is not covered, but what? Our sin is forgiven and forgotten. There is no record of our sin. So we should be more blessed. But many people do not know. They mix with the John the Baptist with Jesus or Elijah with Paul. Doesn't work. Because Paul's sins were completely washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Elijah's sins were washed with the blood of bulls and goats. You understand? Two different things. So we are more blessed. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. I don't have time to compare this, but I just want to give the last couple of verses. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, go ahead.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith.
He says, these all have obtained a good report. Who are these people? These people are the faith warrior in the chapter 11. Starting from Abel to all the other warriors' names are given. They call what? Faith heroes in the Hebrews chapter 11. So that's why I said, and these all faith heroes, having obtained a good report through faith, receiving not the promise. They had a good report and did not receive the promise. Read the words following.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Who are the us? The bride of Christ, the believers. We did not get all the punishment like Old Testament people did, right? But we are still blessed. So he said that they might, without us, should not be made perfect. The Old Testament people, without us, should not be made perfect. What does it mean? We are blessed more than them. You know what the John the Baptist says? John the Baptist says there is a bride and there is a bridegroom. And I'm just a friend. And I listen to the voice of the bride and bridegroom, and my joy is what? Fulfilled. So all the Old Testament people call friends of the bride. And we are the bride. So who is blessed? Bride or friend? Bride. Bride gets everything what the groom has. Friend gets a one night dinner and go home. So we are much more blessed than the Old Testament sense. So our sins are forgiven and forgotten. That's why St. Paul is saying we are blessed. Let's go back to the chapter 4, verse 9.
Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision.
Right. Now he is trying to explain. He says, see how God blessed him? He blessed him before the circumcision. Circumcision came because of his faith in God. If he didn't believe what God is saying, he wouldn't be circumcised. But he obeyed God. He had faith in God. That's why he allowed himself to be circumcised. So, circumcision is not important. First thing is your heart. You believe in God and you obey God and then you do what God says. So he says, God blessed Abraham before circumcision. Okay, verse 11.
And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and a promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be short to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
What the Paul is trying to say, he said, listen, let me make it clear. Abraham was not blessed because circumcision. Abraham was blessed because he believed in God. So that opens the door to unsaved people. Whoever believes in God, God will bless. Now, God says, whoever bless Abraham, whole world will be blessed. So he said, now if you take the example of Abraham, that he believed God and God blessed him, so the same way, if you are the seed of Abraham, you will be blessed because what Abraham did, you did. What Abraham did, he believed in God, you believe in God, and then you will be blessed. So he is trying to say the blessing of God doesn't come with the works. The circumcision was a work doing something. The blessing comes by faith, not by work. If you go to the James, he says faith and works goes together. If you say I have faith and I don't have work, then your faith is useless. Then somebody says, then which is better? Faith is better or work is better? People get confused. What is this? First comes faith. What does it mean? If you believe in God, you will believe whatever he says. Otherwise, there is no meaning. I believe God or I believe my pastor, but I don't believe what he says. Doesn't mean anything. If you believe the man, then you believe what he says. Otherwise, there is no meaning believing. If I believe in God, and then God says, you believe in me? Now believe in my son. And if you say, oh no, no, I can believe in only you. I don't believe in son. That's what the Muslim religion is. They said, we believe in God. We don't believe in his son. And the word of God says, God gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. If I don't believe what God says, how can I believe God? That's what he's trying to say. If you believe God, then believe what he says, and then you do what he says. But if I say, okay, I'm going to do what God says do, but I'm not believing what he said, will not work. If you don't believe in God, you won't believe what he says. That's what the James is saying. Faith and works goes hand in hand. So if you have faith, then you will have work. But if you have work, and if you don't have faith, then it's useless. First, first comes faith, second comes work. Work doesn't come first. First has to come faith. You understand? If somebody does good work, God is not going to please, oh, he's a good man, so I'm going to save him. Doesn't work that way. First comes faith, and then God washes his sins away and then say, now you do what I'm telling you to do. And that's the way it works. 17.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which can be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Okay, now he is giving an example. Now he said, look at the father Abraham's faith. He said he believed that God is able to give life to dead body. Abraham's and Sarah's body was dead. What does it mean? They were not able to produce children, especially Sarah. So he says Sarah's womb was dead, but Abraham believed in God, my God is able to give life to Sarah's womb and bring child to this world. And if you say, if you follow the pattern of Abraham, if you believe that God is able to do this, then his seed will be blessed. What he's trying to say, if you believe what your father did, and then you believe, you know, what I told him to do. That's what he's saying. Father Abraham followed me, even though it was impossible for him to believe, and he believed, and that's why God says that call him righteous and given the righteousness to him. Read verse 20.
Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
He had no doubt what God says he is going to fulfill. So he said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What does it mean? He says, God promised something, and people sitting there and reading all the promises of God. And what happens? Do not believe what God said. How the promises are going to be fulfilled? He says he believed in his spirit. The God who promised, that same God has power to perform the promise. That means when he said he is going to do, he is not going to change his word. He is going to do it. That's what we have to believe. Otherwise, Christian people reading the Bible and quoting the promises and see removing the mountains and opening the eyes and say, nothing happened yet. So that thing is not faith, but what? Doubt and unbelief. He says, if you believe that God who made the promise, that same God is going to perform the promises, and that's called faith. Okay, verse 22.
And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness.
What he believed, God is able to perform his promises. Now when you don't see the promise, but you believe it is going to be happening, or it will happen, that's called faith. If somebody says, I don't believe until I see it, that's not faith. So he said, when he believed that way, that's why God says, I am calling you righteous. Okay, verse 23.
Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Now he is coming to the right point. He says the Sarah's womb was dead and he believed the promise and he got the son. Now you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and Jesus Christ rise again means he was dead. Now he's alive. He is able to bring life to us. If he showed us the proof that Jesus Christ was dead, he was buried, and he came out of the grave, and we saw the resurrection, he said, that's the sign for you. Why don't you believe that God is able to do the same thing to you. Whatever your debt situation is, maybe your financial things are dead, maybe marriage is dead, maybe your relationship is dead, maybe many things you thinking is dead and finished. God can resurrect that. If He resurrected His Son, He can do it anything. You know the Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, please read.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
What He's saying, He did not spare His Son. He gave it to you. He died on the cross. He gave everything what He had. So if He cannot spare His Son for Himself, He gave it to you. Is it impossible for God to not to give some other things? The greatest thing was to sacrifice His Son. If He did that, then all other things are nothing. It can be given to you. So He's saying, the same way if you believe that Jesus Christ is risen, then same righteousness will come to us. We have to have that kind of faith. Okay, verse 25. Romans 4:25.
Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Why He was delivered? He says He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That means Jesus Christ died for what? For our sin, for our transgressions, for our wrongdoing. And God raised Him to make us justify in the sight of God behalf of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died for me, I was supposed to die for my sin. Now Jesus died for me. Jesus raised from the dead. Why? To make me holy. To make me righteous. Without resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no life. And there is no resurrection. Okay. So what is trying to say? Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification? Who is that? Jesus Christ. So in short, in nutshell, in this chapter is saying, our righteousness comes by faith. Faith in God and faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And faith in His resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read verse 17.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
See? In vain. What does it mean? If the Christ is not risen, then your belief in God is useless. So what we have to do? Believe in Jesus Christ, who is raised from dead. If you don't believe, your faith is what? Useless. And you are living in sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10.
But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
How you get salvation? You have to believe that God sent His Son. He died, He was buried, and He is risen. If you don't believe He is risen, you don't get salvation. So you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died for me, He was buried, and He is risen. Otherwise, our faith is useless. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. Thank You, Lord, for giving us grace to understand Your will. Let us believe that our God is able to save us through Jesus Christ. Our forgiveness is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life. So give us grace to proclaim to the whole world, Jesus is risen. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Lord of our life. Give us grace to believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's coming back for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.